This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Hey, how y'all doing? It is your girl, Didi Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen, back with another episode of The Core Queen Podcast, and I have one of the most amazing women I've ever met in my life today as my guest. Y'all welcome Florence Iwebwe. Did I say it right?
Yes,
I said it right. Welcome, Florence.
Yes, you did. Yes,
welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Y'all, Florence... First of all, I just can't wait for this conversation because she's just so amazing. But y'all, she flew all the way from London, England to come and chop it up with your girl. I'm gonna let y'all know a few things about Florence. I'm gonna read her bio and then we're gonna get into these questions because I got some stuff I need to know. So Florence is a Nigerian attorney and the co-founder of Live Wello. She had a life-changing event with the diagnosis of her son who has autism. She targeted this invention for his health. She is a UK trained attorney and her physician husband, a self-taught software developer. That's pretty daggone interesting. Mm-hmm. Self-taught, they built Live Wello to support their autistic son's health while harnessing the best elements of their African culture, village life. By building a health app that was social in nature, they were able to collaborate with their son's health providers, their health coaches, and the rest of their family back home in Africa to collectively manage his health. Now Florence is helping other people manage their own health with the social networking app. Y'all, this app is freaking amazing. It can actually like talk to your DNA, but she's gonna tell us a little bit more about that in a minute. Florence is also the recipient of Stanford University's Health Unity Award. Y'all, please welcome Florence to the show. You're welcome. Now, we got some things to get into because I need you to break down this Live Wello app, how it works, how you created it. I need to know all the in and outer workings of this app.
Yeah. Okay. So the app came about when our son was diagnosed. We took on multiple caregivers, OT, occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists, behavioral therapists, and we wanted all of them to know what each other was doing okay. in the course of a day, because you know they don't get to meet each other. Mm. So okay. we just wanted them to be able to tell each other how our son was doing in a session and get feedback, so they'd know how to give him better care whenever he came in for, you know, a session.
Okay.
My husband built that for me as a present. He actually gave it to me as a Mother's Day present. Yes, he did.
They don't make them like that no more.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But, you know, I think that he did that. And actually, the month after our son got diagnosed with epilepsy. Yes. And yes. And my mom had passed away from epilepsy. She was only 58 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
She had a seizure at the hospital where she worked in London. And yes, it took them a while to find me. And I flew back there and I switched off a life support machine.
Oh,
so it was extreme trauma from that event. As a young mom, having had my mom by my side, my best friend, right. my laughing partner, my joking partner, went to parties together, did everything together, and losing her suddenly really changed me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Jeez. So I knew with my son's diagnosis that I wasn't going to live through that again. So I needed to know what's going on. So I dropped everything in my life to figure out why. Why is it that none of my mom's children had epilepsy? Mm-hmm. And then I have a child with epilepsy. What was the correlation? Why is it that a lot of children with autism had epilepsy? What was going on? Mm. And it was interesting because I would go to doctor's appointments with my husband and our son, and mm-hmm. then I would go without my husband and my son. And there's a difference in the way the appointments usually go. Mm. And so in the first neurology appointment was when I found out that there wasn't, the whole medication, moving from one medication to another to stop seizures was very common. Mm-hmm. And the fact that medications for seizures usually have really bad side effects, which is what my mother suffered. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you don't know if it's if their medications don't cure it. You just manage the seizures and you're just supposed to accept things the way they are. And I think one of the biggest triggers for building the software was that something in my spirit, something in my core would not accept that a chronic disease was not reversible. Mm. I believed every disease could be reversed. And that's when I went into the world of looking at genetics and do they play a role here? What is it? Epigenetics? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? And of course, I was asking my husband a lot of questions because he's in a medical field.
Right.
And that was when I started meeting other moms of children with autism and other moms who turned out to have their own chronic health issues mm-hmm. as well, by the way.
Okay.
And they were saying that the key was in genetics, the methylation cycle, and making sure that the body was working in a synergistic manner. Mm-hmm. And that once something is off, mm-hmm. that's when chronic disease sets in.
Okay.
So the goal is to get the body back to synergy, to work well. Mm-hmm. And knowing your genetics, knowing what your loopholes are and what your pluses are. Because everybody has pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. And what happened was my mom moved to the West. She started living a very Western lifestyle, eating a very Western diet.
Y'all hear this, right?
Yes, not exercising. Mm. And chronic disease set in. And her epilepsy started at an older age, by the way. She was 48 when she started.
Really?
Yes, she was 48. So those were the sounding bells. And then they said, well, our children are having, especially in this day and age, are starting to have a lot of chronic diseases early mm-hmm. because us mothers are passing our toxins on to them. Mm-hmm. And they're coming into the world, you know, the placenta or whatever, you know, it's mm-hmm. coming loaded with toxins. So what does one do? I was advised to clean up our lifestyle, clean up our diet. Mm-hmm. Clean up our diet. I did a ketogenic diet with our son Delibe, but I also started doing farm to table. So I joined a food court and they would deliver like vegetables and meats, like organic stuff mm-hmm. from the farm to my house.
Okay.
It was new for me. It was laborious, trying to eat well, throwing away things that, so all I had in my pantry were like beans and, you know, nuts and, mm-hmm. you know, some rices and, you know, real raw materials as opposed to canned goods mm-hmm. and cereal boxes.
Yeah.
And I started to learn actually that a lot of the times, even those cereal boxes contain additives in them that are detrimental to you, to your genetics. You know, some people have this gene, there's a lot of white folks that have a gene called MTHFR. Mm-hmm. It's a gene that doesn't process folate or folic acid the way that it should. Mm-hmm. And those people with that gene actually have to take a different type of folic acid.
Okay.
And a lot of times, if they don't do that, they have fertility issues. Mm. They have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. They have blood clots. They have a lot of heart attacks. They have a lot of issues with addiction. Yeah. And they have a lot of issues with depression. Mm-hmm. So the software, you know, working in the software has taught me that a lot of issues that people have, it's taught me to be non-judgmental. Mm. A lot of times it's what we came on this earth with.
Okay.
And you got to work with what you came on this earth with.
Yeah.
So when we looked into his gene, we did a gene test on him. Mm-hmm. At that time it was 23andMe. But we ended up doing more. We did Ancestry. We did other companies. And so when the results came, it was 10,000 pages of information. And I looked at my husband. It was worth 10,000 pages. It comes in a raw data file. Mm-hmm. And I said, how does the average person know what to do with this?
Right.
This is not a fair way for people, anybody.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Who's proactive to get the health back. And he said, okay, I can automate it. And so he built the software to automate it, to automate the information. Yes. And so that was how it started. But again, if you've been listening to anything I've said in the last 5 minutes without sleeping, well done, because the genetic information can get boring and it's hard for the average person to absorb it. Mm-hmm. So our goal had always been for the last 10 years to make it easy for people to absorb it and understand it.
Okay.
And even though it pulls research from genetic databases all around the world, it was always a problem we had with the business. And we solved that problem when AI became available. It allowed us to simplify information for users. So what happened with LiveWello was we added the AI component. Mm-hmm. So now when you upload your genetic test result or you buy a test kit from us, because we have test kits if you haven't done your test results, we have actually a large, our test kit covers a lot of genes, more than most of the big companies. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. So if you get that uploaded into your account on LiveWello, you can just go into GeneChat, the GeneChat feature, click on it. And start asking questions. What is the best food for me? I need to lose 20 pounds in the next 6 months. What is the best diet for me? What is the best exercise for me to do based on the information you have on my genetics? So it will spit out meal plans. It will spit out exercise plans.
What?
Targeted to you specifically. So let me tell you something. You could be, I'm 99.9% sub-Saharan. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that you are 60% sub-Saharan or maybe 40% sub-Saharan. the results it will give to you is going to be different from what it gives to me in terms of exercise.
Okay.
And that explains so much, because if you fast forward now to 2024, where we are now, and me recently just, you know, going to the gym in the last couple of years, it completely makes sense why when I go to certain classes, the people are sitting there doing those classes for years, they don't look like they've been working so hard. And I always wondered about that, because they are working hard. I see them working hard. I'm like, why don't they have, you know, the same results as the instructor or, you know, for somebody who's been here years before me? And that's why they're doing the wrong exercise, for the body. And once you get the right exercise for your body, it completely makes sense that you can take an actor, for instance, train them for 6 months, and they're completely ready for a movie.
Yep.
That's the secret to that. People don't know that. Wow. That's the secret. Yeah. Wow. So that's how Live Well came about.
That is freaking, this is like the most amazing invention. And I don't know if I'm saying it because I'm a fitness coach, but I'm like, this is crazy.
It helps your job.
Yeah.
It helps what you do. You get your results are rapid. Yeah. For clients. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And it takes the resistance away from the client. You have the data. It's in front of you. This is what it is. There's really no debating this. Yes. I'm telling you, this is what's going to work for you.
Yes. That's so awesome. You know, so I don't run. I stopped running because I wasn't getting results from running. Because I was told that when you run is when you lose weight. But I ran for a whole year and a half, and I didn't make a lot of, like, I became stronger, but I wouldn't say I made a lot of physical progress. And I was doing what is equivalent to long distance running, which is something that if I were East African, it would probably have benefited me more. Okay. But I'm not. I'm sub-Saharan African.
Right.
So we are the ones you see in the Olympics representing America and many other countries doing a lot of high muscle twitching activities, you know, like your sprint, track and field, you know, even like basketball. Those are all fast muscle twitchers. And when you exercise for that body, you get results. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how old was your son when he got diagnosed with autism?
He was 3 years old. He was 3 years old. It was a rough year. Yeah. It was because, you know, I'm African and I'm also tribally. I'm from the Igbo tribe. We place a lot of importance in our male children. It's not very politically correct right now, but we place a lot of hope and expectations in our male children.
Yeah.
And that diagnosis was an indication that those expectations had to leave our psychology and our way of thinking, our mentality. And then this child was here to teach us a lesson. It was the table flipped. He flipped the table on us. And boy, has he taught me lessons. He saved my life. He has saved my life. Without my son, I probably wouldn't be here today. Yes, because he opened my eyes into the world of health and fitness in a very genuine way, not in a superficial way, in a life or death genuine way.
Right.
A lot of the changes I implicated to help him, I started noticing that my husband's acid reflux stopped, my daughter's asthma stopped, my asthma stopped. Like, I started noticing so many changes in the little interventions that we were doing in the house, you know. So we do a heritage lifestyle. We have a heritage diet and lifestyle that we lead. So what that means is, so an example, a common example of a heritage lifestyle is the Mediterranean diet. So, you know, if you're African like me, you probably should not be on the Mediterranean diet. So yeah, so that's what people need to know.
Right.
The Mediterranean diet is good for Mediterraneans. It is not helpful for a sub-Saharan African because we do not process dairy very well. We do not process shallow carbohydrates. So your potatoes, your white potatoes, your wheat is not doing anything for our body but making us sick later. And so we took wheat for sure out of our diet. We took dairy out of our diet. We took simple sugars. You know, so, I mean, I do eat sugar, but I eat date sugar. or, you know, coconut sugar. You know, when you bake, you make stuff, you use that. But coconut milk, you know. And so you'll often see me on the streets of London with a coconut, drinking coconut water after my workout. And I drink it from a coconut. I don't drink
it. Not out the can.
No, I don't do that. Yeah. And so I basically mirror the exact lifestyle of what my people are doing back home. The foods I eat, the fish, even the types of fish I eat. I started doing that for Dilibe. And he's epilepsy free. He's been epilepsy free for over 10 years.
Really?
Yes. He doesn't take any medications. Yeah, I know. So when you have a chronic illness, illness and you don't know what to do or where to start, the first thing you need to do is to get your gene test, figure out who you are, and then start from there to start working. The only thing I'll say about people that look like me is that the only little bit of not so great news is that our body needs a lot of physical activity.
Yes.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
I did not know this.
Yep.
In a lot of African culture, they try to get you to go to school to get a desk job because they think that the desk job is the more prestigious job. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, what we're finding out now is that the desk job is killing us.
It is killing us.
And so we have to be physically active.
Yep.
The best looking black folk are the ones that are physically active. They're always moving. Yep. They're always laughing.
Yes.
They're always in a community environment. They eat well, you know. And it was simple. You know, all these complications with building the software and everything ended up just boiling down to this simple concept of eat simply, eat clean, move, and laugh.
Yeah.
Find a way to laugh and enjoy and be happy in the every moment, constantly assessing yourself.
Yep.
Are you happy? If you're not happy in that moment, change your environment. Move. Go find somebody else to talk to.
Yep.
But you always need to maintain a happy vibration. Mm-hmm. If not, none of this is going to add up.
Nope.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, so that was it.
So tell me, with your son's autism.
Yes.
How did this help? How has he been since?
Well, we don't have any health issues. I've come to accept that neurodiversity is, we neurotypical people need to be more respectful of how people on the spectrum present themselves in society. And we need to also be not just respectful, we need to be accepting.
Yep.
And a lot of things that we think we need to do, I've learned through my son that they're not necessary.
Mm.
We don't always have to talk to tell somebody that we love them or we don't like them. So our son is not conversational, but I know he loves us. And the way he treats us, the way he is around us, he wants to be around us. So that's just a small example because I obsessed over this. This is part of what made me sick. My obsession with wanting him to talk and wanting to have conversation. I had to let go of that. That was my lesson to let go of. And he's such a sweet, handsome boy. Of course, you know, we used to live in the U.S. and we had to leave because of him.
Yeah.
You know, his condition makes us more responsible as parents in terms of making sure that he's always in the right place at the right time, getting the right services.
Yeah.
And just that sense of awareness of what his needs are.
Okay.
We have three children, but our youngest is not, you know, going to become a, you know, doctor like his father or any of that stuff. And that's just the expectations that were placed on us by our parents, by culture.
Yep.
You know, and we both don't even work in those fields anymore.
Right.
But, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, with our son, we became more conscious of, with our daughters, what do you want to do in life?
Right.
What makes you happy? You know, we as kids, we're told what to do by our parents. And we did it because, you know, you're an African kid, you do what your parents say, what you should do. But we had a different approach, especially living in the West and in Western culture. I know a lot of Westerners don't want to, you know, accept or embrace that there are certain things about Western culture that are good. But the fact that, you know, Western culture allows children to, do what they want with their life. It gives children autonomy.
Okay.
And I respect that. And yeah. I definitely did incorporate that. So that's okay. Another way that he has affected us. And health-wise, our son has always been the most active person mm-hmm. in the house. And he ran away from me one time on the street, and that scared me. I realized I needed to be fitter to care for him.
Right.
And yeah, so that was my motivation for getting fit and, you know, losing weight. And because, you know, I was 54 pounds heavier.
Oh,
I was.
Really?
Yes, I was. I like my food. I love my varied food from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the lesson that son Dalibe taught me was that, you know what, when you eat to live, you don't live to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And that was that was a big lesson
right.
from him, because he's also that way.
Okay.
So a lot of this stuff, I actually learned it from this young
him.
Man. Yes.
Wow.
You know, he eats healthy. My son doesn't like sugar, doesn't drink soda, doesn't like sweets or chocolates. And we believe, my husband and I, that he has tried it, didn't like the way he felt. So if you have a child on the spectrum, the one thing you will accept is that these children know themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They know their bodies. They know their yes. environment. When you see them kicking up, something is amiss.
Yep.
Look around, because something is definitely amiss.
Yep.
And we noticed that he just was not feeling good the next day or sluggish, and he will never touch it. So you can put the most beautiful chocolate cake, chocolate from Switzerland in front of him, and he will not even go towards it. He'll go to egusi soup or some Nigerian dish sooner than he would go to, you know, chocolate. Like most kids.
Right.
It's quite amazing. But he's had a lot of GI issues, and
yeah.
so he's learned, I guess,
yeah.
from that. But yeah, so that's,
okay.
yeah.
Because I was asking, because I have a niece who's autistic.
Ah.
And I think, I know her mom's probably watching. I think she's 6 or 7 now.
Okay.
And she just had an epileptic episode, really, really bad. She just came home a few weeks ago. She actually fractured her leg in the process, so it was just really bad.
Yes, it does.
So I let her mom know that you were coming on. So I was like, you
yes.
need to tune in so you can hear this.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe it'd be something.
It's a lot to do with the diet. And another thing I'm noticing my son does by himself is, so we buy, we put a lot of money into the quality of olive oil that we have in home for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy very top shelf olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
We have that privilege because we live in Europe.
Right.
You can find them here in America, you know. But they like to put oil on their food. There's some connection between oils, high quality oil like olive oil,
mm-hmm.
on the brain.
Mm.
So she can start to do that. We did do some things initially that I thought, oh my God, this is costing so much money, but I'm thankful I did it. A lot of food therapies through the OT and behavioral therapists,
mm-hmm.
they do a lot of food therapy session to help the child to like a variety of foods.
Oh.
So at the age of 6, I think that trying, the main goal should be making sure the child starts to taste a lot of different dish. Forget anything that comes from a box or a takeaway. Mm. Don't do it. Just let it go. Cook everything from scratch. Everything from scratch, and sit there with that child and try to get that child to eat it, because they love repetition and they love to eat foods that are not good for their body because of the sensory issues.
Right.
So that's why I say work with a professional. But the goal of all of this is to make sure the child is eating a varied diet, a diet that's close to their heritage, which is information you get from the genetics,
right.
and a diet that is clean. So it's not no pesticides. The soil is good.
Yeah.
yeah. So that it's stressful to care for a child with autism,
yeah.
but, and it's the stress of it is what got me down, sent me into depression, but it is a commitment, and part of even the movement that we do every day, which is what I was telling you in terms of, you know, how women live in my village,
right.
is cooking. Cooking is not meant to be easy. it's meant to be time consuming.
Yes.
And it's meant to be an act that multiple people do together. Mm. It's a social event,
right,
to cook. And so if you start to look at it that way, then you'll be more inclined to put the time into it.
Yeah.
So in this day and age, you switch on your favorite housewives show, you call your friend, you're talking while you're watching it, and then you're cooking.
You're cooking, right.
Yes. So that makes it less of a chore.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and I agree, because a lot of people are like, well, how do you meal prep all the time? I'm like, because I have to. Like, my food has to be ready. Like, I don't have time. Well, I'm not willing to just grab anything to eat. So I'm going to make my food, and I'm going to make sure it's there and it's available. So that's a part of my task for the week. So I have to get it done. Yes. And it could be time consuming for people, but I mean, what else? I want to live, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah. We're putting more time into getting our hair done,
yep,
our nails done. And if you can just shift the balance, mm-hmm, to put more effort into what's going into your body, if you learn how conservative that body of ours is, and also how powerful our body is, mm-hmm, you'll want to feed it and tell it too.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that we don't often talk about, you know, thanking your body. Mm-hmm. I thank my body after every workout. And in the morning when I'm brushing my teeth, I thank my body. Mm-hmm. I thank it for waking me up. I thank it for the way it looks. I thank it for the work it's done for me. Yesterday, I was able to move a box from here to the garden.
Right.
Thank you that I have the power to do that. As somebody who was once bedbound from chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, that's a big deal, you know.
Wow.
So people need to understand, the research is showing that when you talk to the cells, your cells in your body react.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is research. You can go look this up. When you talk to your body positively, it responds. Yes. You tell it what you want it to do,
mm-hmm,
and it will respond.
It will.
Yes.
I tell people, my clients all the time, I'm like, the physical part is easy.
Yes.
It's this part. Once you get this together, your body will follow.
Yeah. I think for me, though, the beginning of my journey was meditation. So I didn't just jump into exercise, because I didn't have the mental. There's a mentality you have to have for exercise.
Absolutely.
And I didn't connect with it,
yeah,
because I saw exercise as physical activity, as physical labor.
Yep.
I was like, who wants to do that? You know, why do people do that? And so I got into meditation, and it started with 5 minutes of just deep breathing, 4 breaths in,
mm-hmm,
4 breaths held, 4 breaths out. Just doing that.
Yep.
And I started slowly increasing it. But then it clicked for me, I think probably when I got to 25 minutes, that, oh my God, you've got to move every day. You, mm-hmm, have to walk. You have to do something. And that was the beginning of my health journey. Yeah. So, but now, you know, after coming back from my village, I'm now seeing that meditation is kind of an integral part of why our people back in the villages are living well and living longer. Mm. These are poor people, by the way. These, mm-hmm, are not rich people. And they have meditation practice as part of their daily life.
Oh my goodness. Meditation will save your life. Let me tell you, it is so like groundbreaking. Once you really get into it and you realize how, like, it fixes everything, in my opinion.
It
recalibrates things. It just recenters things. And it's so necessary.
Yeah. I mean, I needed to change my mentality regarding, I read his books, Joe Dispenza, and every now and then his stuff comes up on social media for, mm-hmm, me to watch. And he does meditation. And he's somebody that healed himself as well.
Mm.
And he healed himself through meditation and talking to his body and his, yep, the cells. And there's a book by a guy called Bruce Lipton.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Lipton has the data, the core data, as to why meditation and the disease process,
mm,
and how the way you live your life can actually result in disease. The, yep, things you say to yourself in the mirror when you're looking at yourself, mm-hmm, those words you say, mm-hmm, you know, I had a young lady I was in a plane with yesterday, and she said, we were walking to the next plane and we walked to the wrong gate, and she goes, oh, I'm so dumb. I was like, take that back.
Yeah.
I stopped this girl and she was so shocked. I was like, no, take that back. You are not dumb. You have to take back that statement. Mm-hmm. And she was so shocked because, you know, we only just met each other. I said, it's very important. You're a very young girl, mm-hmm, and what you say to yourself,
yes,
is it Your cells are listening. Mm-hmm. So you be careful what you say. And so take it back. I need you to make that comment positive. She goes, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a very smart girl. I'm very accomplished. Thank you. And we continue to the next gate. Because she could have been my child. So, right. You know,
yeah. Yeah, it's really important. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Words definitely matter and they are very important. So.
Yes, yes, yes.
So tell me, how did Forbes contact you to get you on this list?
I don't know how they found out about me, but I was very shocked when I got on the list. But then on that list were women who were doing pretty innovative stuff too. Mm-hmm. And I was honest, I didn't get to do what I was doing because I woke up one morning, I had a great idea.
Right.
Mine came from a family need. Mm-hmm. Mine came because of our son and my experience with my mother, medication hopping with her, and the fact that my mother had multiple doctors, and each time we went to an appointment, they didn't know what the other person was saying. Okay. So a lot of it came from the errors I saw in my mom's care. You know, part of our drive actually with the genetic element was me finding out that if you had two sisters from the same mother and the same father, mm-hmm. if you gave them both the same medication for the same health problem, mm-hmm. that their bodies will process the medication differently. Mm. I did not know this. And this explains why my mom and my son had problems processing the epilepsy medication. Mm. It's something called metabolizer status. Mm. And I believe that anybody on any prescription today should know their metabolizer status via the genetic test. Mm. We're not having this conversation. This is a conversation we need to be having because some people start to have side effects from medication. Mm-hmm. Like some people have a lot of people that take high blood pressure medication. They have a lot of sexual dysfunction mm-hmm. that comes as a side effect, and people just accept it. It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
You should change the dosage, change the medication, mm-hmm. and it should be done based on your genetics. You take your genetic test results to your doctor and say, it is saying that this is my metabolizer status. Mm-hmm. Is this drug still good enough for me at this dosage? Mm. So if you're taking the drug once a day, and it's maybe 20 milligrams, mm-hmm. maybe the doctor needs to spread it out to 3 times a day and you take 5 milligrams each time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or every other day, because that can be done.
Yeah.
Because the metabolizer status is what determines how long the drug stays in your body. Mm. And if it stays there too long, you start to have side effects.
Yes.
If it stays there too short, the problem you're having doesn't get solved. So these answers come from the genetics. So I didn't know. See, I'm excited about it because I'm not a doctor.
Right.
And so I didn't know all this.
Right. I don't think most of us know any of this.
Yes, I didn't know this. And nobody talks about it. It's not the standard of care.
Right.
And it should be the standard of care. But as we're talking to Americans are proactive. Mm-hmm. You know, we can say to, you know, an American and say, you need to go and get this test. Get this result and talk to your doctor about it. And once you tell people that, they're on it.
Yeah.
So this is the thing that I found out that I didn't, that's how I knew that a lot of the medications my mom was taking, mm-hmm. they were causing her to have depression symptoms. And I didn't realize it was because her body was not processing it well. And then even my son, he took one medication that my mother took, and then he wasn't able to walk well. And he wasn't able to, his handwriting skills, we lost it. Yes.
Oh my
yes, God. One of the seizure medications. And ooh. So I didn't know that was the side effect of a medication. And when we found out, because we were tracking him, mm-hmm. we stopped the medication and we noticed that a lot of his skills came back. This has been very eye-opening. So if anybody out there is on any kind of prescription medication, mm-hmm. make sure you know your metabolizer status. If you don't, go to LiveWello. Get your test done.
There you go.
And we'll tell you that. Yeah, we will. We have an email. We have an email address where people, if they get confused in the website, whatever the question they have, they can ask. It's called support at LiveWello.com. So we're there for them as well.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
Y'all better get on this app. Yes, it's life or death around here. Yeah. You need this, okay?
Yeah.
So how did you win the Stanford University Health Unity Award?
Well, because 2 years ago, AI came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole world seemed to be dismissive of AI, right? Everybody was saying negative things about AI. And my husband and I were like, we try to think out of the box a little bit. And our thing was, we know that there are issues, legitimate issues with AI in the outside world, in social media, in everyday life. But can this AI make our software and the world of genetics easier for our users? Because that's all we want out of it. We just want it to stop sounding so complex.
Right.
It sounds simpler. And it did. Mm-hmm. We started testing it. So, you know, in our software, if you had a question about your genetics, mm-hmm. you can actually ask the question and tell, and in that question, while you're asking, say, please give me the answer at a third grade level. Yes.
Oh.
And you'll be happy to know that I ask it to give me all my answers at third grade level, not just for me to be able to absorb it quickly, but so that I can explain it to somebody mm-hmm. else easier.
Yeah.
And because it's not about proving how smart you are.
Right.
The smartness is not about what you know. Mm-hmm. It's about your ability to share with other people.
Right.
Yeah. That's where the smarts come from.
Yes.
Right. And so I think that when we figured out how to layer the AI feature onto our software, mm-hmm. we were one of a handful of companies that were even using AI in that positive health field.
Mm-hmm.
And in genetics, nobody was really. We were the only ones who even dared to think about it. I don't even know. We saw some kind of an interview on TV and we were like, we have to make this a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. this has to yeah. be a good thing. We yeah. can't make it a bad thing. So the good thing about it was just helping people understand themselves better.
Okay.
That was the goal. And yeah, and so that's how that came about. And we went, we did a presentation,
mm-hmm.
and then we won that award. And it was a very humbling experience.
Nice.
I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't,
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you see some, what are some common struggles that you witness with Black women when it comes to health and fitness?
My people. I mean, I sigh because those are problems that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying this problem from an observatory perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it from my own.
Mm-hmm.
Being a mother, trying to work, take care of a family, raise good children, and not be just exist in society.
Right.
We really don't put ourselves first. We don't. When a Black woman opens her eyes in the morning, the first thing she's thinking about is her children, taking care of them, or her job. She's not thinking about herself, no matter what she said. And you know how we hide? We hide. We'll get our nails done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get our hair done. And that's us telling ourselves that we've taken care of ourselves when we really haven't.
Yeah.
We really haven't, right? So one of the things I feel that we lack is true self-care.
Mm.
And even when we have it, when we do give ourselves self-care,
mm-hmm.
we say it almost as if we didn't deserve it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'm saying this because I still do that.
I still do that, you
know? And so that's one of the big issues.
Mm.
You know, I don't know if it's by virtue of our Blackness that we don't feel like we deserve good things.
Mm.
But I think if I had to talk to you and you asked me, what is it that the big lesson I need to learn about health and fitness and wellness and mental health,
mm-hmm.
it's that I need to tell myself as a Black woman that I deserve self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to feel happy. I deserve joy. I deserve the soft life, as they call it these days,
right.
You know, because there are various other cultures that have this automatically and don't think twice about it.
Yep.
Very many other cultures. But for us, it's a topic of contention.
Yeah.
You know, and we even judge each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's over there getting her nails done when she should be, I don't know, I don't walking her child to become into an astronaut or some kind of neurosurgeon or whatever it is that they expect us to do. But I think that's the big issue. Mm. We're not kind to ourselves. I feel like the internal dialogue of the Black woman needs to be elevated. Mm. What we say to ourselves about ourselves. Yeah. We need to truly love ourselves mm-hmm. and appreciate our strength and the things that we've achieved. Yeah. So if you wake up in the morning, you're not feeling happy, you're having a down moment, that is the time to remind yourself what you've achieved in life, mm. how far you have come.
Yeah.
And just be grateful. Just have a moment of gratitude. Yes. So I do 3 gratitudes every day. Mm-hmm. I do 9 affirmations every day. Mm-hmm. These are things that I want. Every day, I do them 3 times a day. And those 9 affirmations, and then I do my gratitude, the things I'm grateful for, 3 mm-hmm. times a day, always. And then when I brush my teeth, I talk to myself in the mirror, mm-hmm. and I tell myself all the things about myself that I appreciate. It's very difficult to do, yeah. especially as a Black woman.
Yeah.
But you get used to it and you kind of almost have to become somebody else to do that. Mm. And then slowly it becomes part of who you
right.
are. Yeah. yeah. But these are the problems and these are the things that we need to do. And they don't cost money.
There you go.
They don't cost money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Yes. Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
I think... Black women have it hard for some reason. I think extremely hard right now because of this divide that we're having with men and women. I don't know why it feels like we're attacking each other. But we really need each other so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
We do.
And I wish we could just fix it and bring it back together.
Yeah, it's all just remnants of trauma from parents.
Yep.
It's now kind of bubbled up to the surface,
yeah,
and it's revealing itself, yeah. you know. That's all that is.
Yeah.
This is a phase. I don't think that's gonna last long. We need each other to
it work. Can't because it's too exhausting.
yeah, exactly. There's exhausting. That too. There's that too. But yeah, yeah, it's not gonna last. It's just a phase, and I think it's a coming of age mm. because even the people in this kind of contention, they're always at a certain age range.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're right. Injury. And yeah. then after a while, you get it out of your system and you just kind of yeah. carry on with life. You know more who you are.
Yes.
And then you carry
and
on.
And you appreciate other people more as yes. you get older too. So
yes.
it's not about me.
Yes. So, it's yeah. not. It's really not. And I think that divide will close pretty soon.
Yeah.
But we have to be patient. And it's also very important that... when we're negative towards each other, it is also a reflection of what we're going through. And that Absolutely. Stuff, by words are spells. They that bounce is, around. So listen, you got to be careful what you get out, what you write, and what you say.
Yes. I agree. Because I remember when I was younger, I was like not a nice person to men. And that was because I just wasn't happy. Right. So I was treating them in a certain way that I'm like, I think back, I'm like, I say that yeah, like but yeah. now when you say that it's like I wasn't happy with myself
right yeah. and we all go through that phase
yeah.
you know it's not just you by the way right. we all go through that phase
yeah.
and it's what I call a coming of age
mm-hmm.
and it clashes with whatever the cultural temperament is what is the temperature of the culture what's going on in the movement
right
and, yes
yeah.
and when it clashes like that it shakes yeah. up a little bit, but after a while it settles
settle.
Again.
It'll
yes,
settle.
It does. Yeah. It does.
yeah. So you talked a lot about your fitness journey, and I was just wondering, because I mean, I've lived overseas for some time, but I want to know, do you feel like there is a lot of similarities when it comes to like the obesity issues from overseas to the US?
I think that the obesity, every issue that America has, America is very good about talking about its problems publicly.
Mm.
America wears its problems on its sleeve. But I always say, just because America wears its problems on the sleeve doesn't mean that America is the only continent or the only country that's having that problem.
We got a call? Okay, we got a caller. Somebody has a question.
Really?
Oh, we got to use the headphones? Okay.
Do I need to use the headphones? Oh.
Okay. The speaker's not acting right.
Okay.
Caller, what you got for us?
We can't. Hi, this is Courtney. It's Florence's husband.
Hold on, I can't hear anything.
Hello.
Okay, there we go. We can hear you now. What you got for us, caller? What's your name and what you got?
My name is Kwame. Florence is husband from London.
Really? Are you kidding me? Is that him? Is that really him? Oh my god. Oh my god. It's 2:30 AM.
You're doing a really great job.
She's
amazing. She's beautiful. And her daughter says she gives her, and she says, is delivering to bed. He's a very good boy. Yeah. He just wanted to say he loves you and thank you.
that is so sweet. See, I told you they don't make them like this no more.
Oh, they do.
So sweet. Thank you so much. Almost crying now.
It's 2:30 AM. So I'm so shocked that they're still up. Okay. Thank you so much.
That is so amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Look,
we should have asked him for medical questions.
That was so nice.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, wow, they stayed up to watch it. That is even my daughter.
That's so
you know
sweet.
These kids these days.
Right.
But anyway.
That was nice.
Yeah.
So you're okay, so the obesity problem compared to, you know, the
current I believe countries. That every continent has that problem right now.
Okay.
We have it in Africa, China's complaining, India's complaining. Mm. The way it's presenting itself in Africa and China is very interesting. Africa, China, India, that I know,
mm-hmm.
which is that the poorer people are starting to live longer than the rich. So the wealthy are the ones who are getting exposed to a lot of the Western diets, the Western foods. Yes.
Okay.
So they have the accessibility. And that's what's causing the obesity. Mm. And in a lot of these cultures, like I told you, exercise was not part of my growing up.
Right.
Because my parents, in their mind, they thought that a physical activity led to poverty.
Right.
Any job, any kind of work that led to physical activity was poverty.
Right.
And so they try to steer their children into desk type jobs.
Right.
And that is not helping our health.
Mm.
And so the obesity problem in America is not an American problem. It's a global problem.
See, and that is so interesting because
yeah.
they try to put it on us as if all these other countries are great. We suck. We're fat. We're obese.
Well, the only I feel the part of the reason for that is because a lot of the food products that are causing these problems stem from America.
Yeah.
But that's not also America because it's a free market. Anybody can come up with a product and put it out there. Right.
Right.
But the thing is, the world is so in love and enamored by American culture.
Yeah.
So they would sooner go the direction of American products than anything else.
Yeah.
And so that's where that resentment is coming from.
Okay.
I think so. Well, that's just my theory.
Yeah,
I could
okay.
be wrong.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right.
but that's how I see it. It's definitely and you can be, you know, in America, it's actually the obesity problem runs across the socioeconomic status,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's actually an equal opportunity problem.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I need to say, especially about obesity, is if you're somebody listening to this podcast and you have a weight problem, do not blame yourself. A weight problem is a stress problem.
Mm.
If we start to look at weight, being overweight, as a stress-related problem,
mm-hmm.
the perspective changes.
Yeah.
So the cortisol, what happens with the body is that all these stress hormones rise in the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
The body does not know the difference between stress from work and stress from starvation.
Right.
So the moment you're stressed, regardless of the source of the stress,
mm-hmm.
your body starts to act like it's starving.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds on to all the food you eat,
yep.
you know, the food you ate, everything.
Yeah.
And it does not process it. It goes into emergency mode.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that obesity is
yeah.
that emergency mode that the body has assumed as a source of survival.
Yep.
And so and how do you address the stress? That was why my weight loss journey started with meditation. Meditation has been proven to reduce stress hormones in the body. This is scientific. It is out there.
Yeah.
So start with that before you talk to somebody even about a weight and fitness plan.
Right.
Start meditating. Get the stress hormones down. Mm-hmm. Because what they do is they clear up your mind.
Yes.
To, oh, so I do need to go into the gym. Mm-hmm. And when you are in the gym working out, the thing that sustains you is that realization that has come from meditation that this is good for you. You're mm-hmm. doing this for yourself. This is for your body. This is for your longevity. Mm-hmm. This is for your health. It's so that you grow old well. It's so that you feel better.
Yes.
Because people think this weight loss thing is about looking good. It's about feeling good.
I tell that's just the cherry on top.
Yeah. It's about feeling.
Yeah.
And it's a mental health thing too.
Absolutely.
All these people you see at the gym, they're there for their mental health.
Yeah, because if we don't go to the gym,
we don't feel right. Our mind messes with us.
We don't function well without it.
Yes.
We don't function well.
So I don't know why that news hasn't gotten out that people at the gym, maybe we need to say it more that we go to the gym for our mental health.
Yeah.
Not really for anything else, but for our mental health. Yeah. And the mental health is in the core.
Yes. That's the foundation.
Yeah. The brain gut connection.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I tell a lot of my clients, like, until you figure out the root cause of whatever this issue is that you're having, you're not going to lose the weight. You got to figure out the root cause of that. Because I can't help you physically until you are mentally prepared to take this journey, because it is a journey and this is for life. This isn't some fad or anything like that.
And how do they react when you say that?
A lot of them break down crying because they come to the realization that there is something wrong and I haven't addressed it and I'm just trying to hide it and mask it. So yeah, that you, I'm telling you, like, and it's a lot of, I know this might get too deep, but a lot of women, because I try to train more women than men because men are. Sorry. I'm joking, guys. I love y'all too. But women, what I found that a majority of the women that are like really obese, they've been molested and they're protecting. Oh. That's the way to protect themselves.
Yes.
And they just keep it to keep people away from them.
Yes.
So that's a whole nother dynamic that they have to deal with first before I would even take them as a client, because it would be a waste of time because you're going to go right back to that same thing until you pull that root. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that mental piece is very, 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 very huge.
So really, essentially, you know, we talk meditation, but you need to get a therapist.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely the therapist. And I have a great therapist, and she tells me all the time, keep meditating. Like, geez, please meditate. Like, that is the gateway. That is the key. Like, that's going to help with so many other things. And it just helps you to clear out trauma.
Childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've heard about a new type of meditation called QHHT, quantum hypnosis therapy, that gets into childhood traumas. A lot of people who have chronic illness that's repeating itself over and over again or just wouldn't go, they also do that type of therapy. Because what I'm finding is with a lot of these issues, it's a multidisciplinary approach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to know your genetics and everything, but you still do need to meditate. You still do need to eat right. Mm-hmm. You know, for me now going into menopause, I see an acupuncturist. Oh. Yes, I do. Every week. That's a multidisciplinary approach that I never, you know, would have seen myself being involved in.
Yeah.
But it's all hands on deck. It's a village approach.
It's a village.
It's there a village.
Yes.
It's a village. Yep. Interesting.
And I think also when you're around older people, you get to see, you have like a futuristic view of what could be. So do you want to be bedridden? Do you want to be in a wheelchair? Do you want to have somebody assisting you and washing you? Like, don't you want to be mobile?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, my husband is into martial arts. He's been doing it since he was 16 years old. Did a karate, became a third dan. He's now doing Aikido. He just got his third dan. Mm-hmm. And his instructor is in Japan, 93-year-old man, and has thrown him on the floor multiple times. Like, people will not believe that a 93-year-old can beat a 6'3" black man, you know, healthy, fit black man. But So my husband always told me that his goal was to age like that man.
Yep.
And aging doesn't involve walking around with a walking stick. Yeah. Walking upright, being able to avoid a hole in the pavement.
Right.
You know, being able to pick up your grandkids, you know, push them on the bike or something.
Exactly.
You know, that's the kind of aging we want to do.
Yes.
You look around, yes. 80 people in their 80s, you don't see obese people in their 80s. You know, somebody asked me that and I didn't realize it. You don't see obese people in their 80s, do you? You when you see somebody in their 80s, like me, I encounter them in the gym or just on the street. They do like yoga every day. The ones that are like independent,
yeah,
they work out every single day.
Yep.
And that was one of the hardest things that I had to make peace with, as having a sub-Saharan body, that I needed to do 1 hour of exercise every day, no matter what it was, minimum. I had to do it every day. And now it's become like brushing my teeth.
Yep.
So who convinced you that you have to brush your teeth twice a day or three times a day? Whoever convinced you that?
They should have convinced you to work out or move. Or
yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, now I got to get into some messy stuff. No, not messy.
Okay.
But I'm curious to know how other cultures or overseas looks at the U.S. when it comes to like our elections and government. Like, how do y'all look at us?
They have their own problems. Yes.
Because we're always saying,
you know, when we were kids, we'd be like, when you're pointing at somebody, one finger is pointing at them and then the other four is pointing at yourself. Americans need to pay attention to that.
They do, because, you know, they're always saying, oh, you guys, like other countries are laughing at you. You look, y'all look like clowns.
You know what it is? I think it's some of the laws, maybe some of the laws that a lot of other countries don't understand that the U.S. has. They've been trying to convince the U.S. to make changes, and the U.S. can't or won't. I don't know why. But when you get frustrated trying to tell somebody something, then you feel like the only resort is to shame them. And it's not really a viable approach to shame people. But what I will tell you is a lot of other countries, a lot of the top Western nations are having a lot of issues too internally. It's just the U.S., you get involved so much in the issues that you don't actually look outside. But I challenge anybody listening to the show to, you know, quit watching American politics or American news. And, you know, for one day, you know, Google, find out what's going on in France and French politics.
Right.
You know, what's going on in Norway, for instance? What are the major issues that they're having?
Right.
And you will be shocked. They have a lot of the same issues in a variety of different ways. Yeah. You know, and so this is why it's good to mind your business, because if you don't mind your business, one day your business will be the business everybody's minding.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, be careful how you point your finger at other people.
Listen.
Yeah. because we're not done living yet. My mom always said that. Yep. We're not done living yet.
Keep on living.
And, you know, if you keep living, you will make mistakes.
Yeah.
If you're in this world to live, you will make mistakes.
Yeah. Because I know, like, right now we have, of course, you know, our elections coming up for a new president, and a lot of people are using the, I want to say, their way of defending their candidate. They'll say, well, we're going to look weak to other countries if we have a woman, or they don't take us seriously because we got a woman running and no other woman is running anything. And it's like, how do y'all know these people feel this
way? I mean, I don't want to be negative, but it's kind of embarrassing that this is the first time a woman in a big country, a free country
free.
Is actually this close to the presidency. I'm actually surprised. Africa has had female leaders. We've had a lot of female leaders in politics, top politicians in Kenya, you know, and so, you know, it's not really a shocking thing
for
the world. I think people are more fascinated that it's only just happening.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
We have 46 of them.
Yes.
We couldn't get it together.
Yes.
Can we at least try one woman?
Yes. And women, you know, especially us Black women, unfortunately, the way society, global society is, our needs are often relegated to the backseat. We're in the totem pole of importance. We're often at the bottom.
Yep.
And I often say that the person at the bottom has a great view of what's going on all the way to the top. And that perspective shapes how they make decisions. And when you've been in that position, you're better able to actually see what everybody needs. You're a mother. You see what all your children need. You see what all your relatives need, your husband, your, you know. So if people probably start to look at things that way, then I they'll have a positive attitude, you know, to the leadership role. And leadership role, not just in the presidency, but, you know, in their job.
Right. You know, like just in their job.
Let's not go as, I try not to go, you know, out of my scope of knowledge, but just in a regular job, you know, maybe it's time to consider the women in your workplace as having more responsibility, having more powerful positions. Try them out. Maybe that's what this is meant to do, you know, and that's the way I look at it.
I agree. 100%. I agree. Yeah. So, back to the app.
Yes.
How do people, is it in the app store? Like, how do people get this?
Okay, so they... it's online. So you go to livewello.com. So it's livewello. So it's just livewell with an o.com.
Okay.
I say that because in Nigeria, we say eat wello, live wello. That's how we came up. Yes.
Okay.
So the whole goal of it was we want people to live their best life, the healthiest version of themselves. You know, I would love for people to feel and look like the folks that represented us in the Olympics. Like, you know, those people are in top shape, right?
What?
They look and feel. You see how they always smile and the teeth so white?
Right.
You know? And, you know, and honestly, I see that when I go back to my village. I see that when I go back to my village. And it's interesting to watch it on the Olympic stage. But it's actually possible in everyday life. In everyday life, it's possible.
Yes.
You don't have to be, you don't have to have be Sha'Carri Jackson with a top trainer and all these nutritionists around you. These, there are simple tools like ours that are out there now to help you. So it's up to you to just make that decision that, you know what, you're no longer going to live this way. You want to live better. You want to live primal, optimum. You want to be at the top of your game.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, it's easy for me to say that as a Nigerian because that's how we think. You know? But I want to impart that on other people.
Yeah,
live to your best capability. You deserve it. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what has been some of the best advice you've ever received?
Oh wow! You know, some of the best advice I have ever received has actually come from living in America, with Black Americans. I know. I know it's going to shock you, but I've gotten a lot of who I am came from when I lived in this country.
Really?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I learned so much. I learned to appreciate my own country through a Black American, through Black Americans. You know, I used to say a lot of negative things about my country, Nigeria, complaining, you know, like we complain. And I was taught to take it back by Black Americans in this country. And what that invariably did, it was that it gave me a self-love. And that became the basis of everything that I am today. It came as an adult because I didn't come here until I was an adult.
Okay.
But it came from listening to people who had lived through some things in this country. You know, the Black American experience that gave me the privilege of being who I am today. Because, you know, that came before me.
Right.
You know, I just walked in here and took advantage of all the suffering, all the sacrifices that have been made by Black Americans before I got here. And, you know, I don't really hear us Africans talking about it often enough.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about it.
Yes.
And I'm recognizing it. And I think just sitting here talking to you, that the ability to love my country truly and appreciate my country has formed a self-confidence in me, a different type of self-confidence. a very quiet but sustainable self-confidence. Mm. And that came from Black America. It did. You guys don't even know this about you. Why do you think we copy you? You guys are everything. Everybody's copying you. Korea is copying you.
Yeah.
You know, people, everything in the Black American experience sets the ball rolling for innovation.
Mm.
It's, I mean, do you even know this?
You guys, I think to an extent we do, but I think that we feel like we're ridiculed so much.
No, it's not true. Everyone's trying to be.
But I don't think I think because like when everybody else is trying to be us, we feel like they get the credit and we don't.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That is very, very true.
So it's like we have to fight to be like, no, we did that first.
Yes. Like, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And that's painful.
Yeah.
But for me, it's so obvious. And it's so the Black experience in America, as in the Black American experience in terms of innovation, in terms of fortitude, in terms of like unrelentless hard work, is here.
Mm.
It's here. You know, I was in an airport. I was talking to some people working, you know, the different food stores.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got it. The air hostess, flight attendant, she's got it. Just talk, like it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always see it outside of this country. It's not always as obvious, but it's an energy
mm-hmm.
in this country, in the Black American environment. It's an energy. And it's amazing to me that you guys don't see how powerful you are. You know?
It's funny that you say that because I had a conversation with a couple guys and I didn't even think I was going to bring this up, but it led me here. So there, I don't know if you even heard of this. There's this huge movement of passport bros. They're called passport bros. And these are men who have vowed to never date Black American women again, or mainly Black American women or American women, but mainly Black American women.
Passport
and
bros.
Yeah. And they like, because I know y'all going to drag me because I'm sick of having this conversation and y'all be cutting up when I say this. But I'm saying it because I interviewed these people. They literally were pretty much saying that like how Black women are compared to women overseas, no matter wherever they go to have their passport stamped. They find these other women who are more cooperative. They're just willing to do more things and Black women are just so difficult. It's just like they're like literally just dragging and demeaning Black women.
That's disappointing.
And this is literally a whole movement of men. And I had the pleasure of interviewing two of them on my other podcast, and it was disturbing to say the least.
Man. Yeah, so don't take it in.
Oh, I don't. Don't I take would it never in. Date them anyway.
That is their journey. I'm almost sad that they have a label.
Yeah.
I see it differently. I see it as anti-Blackness.
Mm.
I just see it as anti-Blackness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a little uncomfortable because these are Black men, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's different cultures, but mainly Black men are the ones that are saying they won't date Black American women. Yeah. And they're saying like their experience with Black American women just hasn't been pleasant. And it's just a whole...
God, but imagine all the cultures. I just wouldn't hear a white American guy or some German guy say, you know, that German woman, you know, from Black Forest treated me terribly. Now I swear off German. Like, I never hear that. You know what
That's
I mean?
What I said.
Like, you don't ever see that. It's not.
And imagine if the Black woman did that. Like, I've been hurt by many of Black men, but I would never swear off Black.
Yeah. That's very disturbing.
It is.
Because if those same people were to look around, there's anti-Blackness coming towards them.
Mm.
And so for them to propagate it towards their own likeness is not high vibrational.
No. Exactly.
It's not good vibes, as my daughter would say.
And every time I bring this up, somebody does a reaction video about it and they drag me. And I'm like, I don't have a problem with preference. Right. Preference is your preference. Whatever you prefer, that's what you prefer. But to go and bash Black women in the process, like, why are we even a part of the conversation if you're just going after what you prefer?
Well, everybody kind of loves to dump on us, you know? And that's partly our fault, isn't it? Because we just, we go through stuff and we come up like a, you know, phoenix from the fire. Mm-hmm. And each time we, you know, rustle around, we rise again. We keep rising. And this all that strong Black woman complex. So, you know, I'm one of those women. I'm no longer a strong Black woman. Yeah.
I need help. I need exhausted. Love. I need care.
Yes.
I need affection. Yes, I need all of it. Okay.
Yes. But, you know, I think that, again, I think that that's a phase. Imagine meeting those men in their 60s, their mid 60s, sitting down in some restaurant with their partner.
Well, and the one guy was about close to that age. He was Fred. How old was the Black dude that came on my other show? He was at least 50 something, right? Yeah, he was 50. Yeah.
Oh,
right. he's like,
oh. Well, we gotta start that deep work.
They need
whenever
to
we can. Yeah, that's disappointing. See, you can tell, like, my algorithm does not pick up on all that stuff. Because my thing about being happy and content with myself and being self-confident, if you make that vow to yourself, yours is your job, so you have to run up against this. Yeah, this is your work. But I don't run up against this stuff. Yeah. And when I do, I quickly kind of, because imagine being a Black woman or who's, I don't know, single, trying to get married or something, and hearing that right. I don't care who you are, that's demoralizing.
It is.
It breaks your spirit and your sense of self. And so, so if you see that, quickly tell Instagram or whatever that you don't want
that. I do not
want
to see this anymore.
Yeah.
I agree.
But anyway, but so I think the best advice I've ever gotten has been from Black America.
That's awesome.
I wasn't expecting to say that. You probably thought I was going to say my mother or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we as Africans have a lot to learn from you guys.
That is awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
My last question for you.
Yes.
What advice would you give 15-year-old Florence?
Oh, wow. What advice would I give? I was to like myself more. I didn't like myself.
Wow.
I just didn't like myself, you know, and I was such a pretty, you know, sweet young girl, very affable, but I let too many like societal messages get through. And if there's a way for us to do that for our younger children, you know, so that they don't get too many societal messages and expectations and pressures. That would be my big thing. It sounds boring, but I feel like it affected me so much.
That's huge. Because I think brown girls feel that way. I feel like we all felt a way about ourselves as teenagers that we weren't good enough. We didn't look the part.
Yes, and we relegated ourselves to the back. And just be more confident. Speak up more in the classroom.
Mm.
You were smart. You just didn't speak up. Answer the questions the teacher's asking.
Yeah.
Don't be scared about how you sound. You know, appreciate yourself more. You know, that's
that's
advice.
Good.
Yes.
Because I just want to piggyback, because I know we had a conversation off camera earlier about the kids now, like that your kids went to school with, and how they're wanting all these different surgeries in high school.
Yes, they were. Yes, their classmates were. You know, I mean, these are wealthy people. I don't know. Sometimes my husband and I talk about it. Like, is it access to money that makes these people do this? Or
of
is
course.
It? Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
So, I mean, it's, I feel that sometimes we as parents need to sit down with our children. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the top people in pop culture today that we all know about, they all had all these reality TV shows. I used to watch it with my children. And I used to tell my children, you know, this is not a realistic body.
No.
And there are consequences. I remember telling my daughters that there will be a time when people will start removing their fillers and their, because we know now that autoimmune disease is so high in society. How are you going to put a filler in your body and your body's not going to react to it? Your body's designed to have an immune reaction to foreign substances. And when it gets to too much, those immune responses get to be too much, you start to go into chronic disease, no matter who you are.
Yep.
So, and now we are there. We are now at the place where people are now removing a lot of the foreign substances that they were putting in their bodies. And I mean, I didn't have this issue probably because I was broke. I didn't have
right. We didn't even think about that. We're trying to survive and eat. Something.
But I think that it's happening now, and I'm glad it's happening in my lifetime.
Right.
Yeah, that I'm starting to see it. So what I said came to happen. Yeah.
That's a relief because I feel so sorry for these young girls who are having these, I'm calling it body dysmorphia issues. Because it's just like, I can't imagine being 20 something and thinking I need to change something about my body. And they are so heavily influenced because they have so much access to so much information that they think.
And this social media, see, like when I use social media, that's why I don't have followers and my social media is pretty much not something or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I go into social media to learn. So I follow teachers on social media, be it teachers of yoga, teachers of meditation, teachers of calisthenics, teachers of agility. Those are the people I follow. I don't really follow drama on social media. And even the people that I follow that are my friends, I actually don't keep up with them. I'm happier just seeing them when they call me like on a Thursday evening, or I call them, or we run into each other socially. Or we plan to meet. That's how I keep up. Yeah. And I will make you pull out your phone and show me pictures. That's the weird part of it. That's really weird, isn't it?
Let me catch
up. So these are posted pictures that they've posted on social media for me to see. But I didn't see it then. But when I see them is when I say, give me your phone. Let's see the pictures of this event or whatever. And that's how I consume. That's my own method of consuming social media without fear. Because the thing about it is, no matter how successful you are, somebody else is doing something that is that you will perceive as being better than you.
Yes.
And what does it do? Mm. If you're not happy for them, you're sad about yourself. So if you cannot be happy for them, don't consume it.
Yeah. Because now you're comparing yourself. You go into depression. And that's what these kids are experiencing.
Yes. Yeah. For me, I don't know. I don't actually have a lot of time to go through all the people on my social media and keep up with them, you know. But I think that when I see their posts, I always like it or make a comment or I even ask a question. But I think that part of the problem with what you were talking about has a lot to do with self-confidence and always comparing ourselves.
Yep.
And the demon for that was social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Social media.
Yeah.
I enjoyed having you on the show. You are as amazing as I assumed you would be.
Thank you.
And I appreciate all the knowledge you've poured into plenty of people. I hope they take it in.
Yes.
We're going to put it out there in the atmosphere and we hope that it'll shift some things in people's lives. And help them make some changes.
Their hearts too.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And if you want to shout out your website again, how people can follow you, all that good stuff.
Yes. So livewello.com. I haven't quite built my personal social media yet because I don't feel that I am psychologically prepared for, so I'll be honest.
Self-care.
Yes. But the self-care part, you know, make sure you're doing your oil pulling. Make sure every day you're checking in with your genes, how you're doing, what you should be doing, doing your meal plans, cooking well, eating well. make sure you're moving. This is my advice for you. You know, if you go to our website, you can create every week. Just go there, create a meal plan, create an exercise plan. Mm-hmm. Tell it what your dreams are. I would like to lose 20 pounds in the next 4 months or 3 months. I like to do things low and slow, by the way. So that's why I give it a lot of time. So I don't like to eat, I don't know, sushi, and I don't like to eat milk. Can you create a health meal plan for me, a high protein meal plan? Just interact that way. Make that your social media. You know, make the knowledge that you gain from it the thing that you're interacting with. If you go in and sit on Instagram or TikTok or whatever for hours, you don't come out with a degree. You don't come out with any knowledge, you know? So you got to do stuff that gives you knowledge and improves your body.
There you go.
Yeah. So just go to our website, livewello.com. If you have any question, if you get there, you're freaked out, just talk to me, support@livewello.com. And we can answer any questions that you have. And you know, hold your hands to the process because we know that for some people it's a little bit like overwhelming, but yeah,
awesome.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you. Make sure y'all check her out, livewello.com. Now, get your life together.
Get your life together.
Listen, and y'all know who I am. I am Didi Legette, aka the Core Queen, and I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape without starving yourself or spending hours a day in the gym. So if you need a fitness coach, I'm a virtual coach, nutritionist. I'm all kinds of stuff. Check me out. I am the Core Queen. You can find me on all platforms. You can Google me. You can go on my social media. You can go on my YouTube. But while you're on YouTube, I need you to do me a favor. Subscribe to my channel. Hit the notification bell. Share, like, comment. Tell your people about the podcast. If you want to be a guest on my show and I like you enough, I'll let you come on. But y'all know we here every week, Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, every single week with another guest. Y'all, please make sure y'all watch this episode, share it again, because Florence is the shit. Okay? And we are out, y'all.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.